speaker, Kit from Midland, and I've known Kit for several years, and I've heard her speak only really about twice, so I'm looking forward to this, and I will let Kit tell you about herself. Let's welcome Kit.
Thank you, and thank you, Wanda. My name is Kit, and I am a long-term recovering compulsive overeater and addicted to sugar.
Thank you.
Hi, I want to welcome our guest and welcome each and every one of you here. You're important to me. You are a witness to my recovery. And with that, giving it away does give me one more step toward healing. Another word for recovery is healing. And I'm like Wanda, there's three areas I want to go into, and one is how I was and what got me here and how I am now. I don't want to have a gloom and doom, and don't want to leave you with the ideology that, oh, she didn't have it bad. I grew up in an area that's fighting for 49th and Education, Mississippi. So education wasn't an important thing back in the 60s. And not only education, but women. Women weren't important there. I grew up in a time where on an application for a job, they could ask you, are you pregnant or do you plan to be pregnant in the next 6 months? Now, that doesn't happen today. So we ladies can stand on the shoulders of other giants. But I grew up in that time. And in that time, I knew I was different from everyone else. I was born in Mississippi, but my father couldn't find work. There were no jobs then, and there are no jobs today. Then you look around and see who's going to die and hope you can put in an application and be considered for the job. And that's how I ended up in West Texas. There are jobs in West Texas. There was in the 70s when I moved there. And there still is. But going back to growing up, I grew up in poverty. At 3 weeks old, my dad sent money for my mother, my older sister, and I to move to Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I liked it. I liked Ypsilanti because we had neighbors. We had paved streets. We had a comfortable way of living. But I didn't know it until we got to the Deep South. There was no running water. There wasn't apartments to move into. We lived in a shack. And out of that, there was no telephone, because no telephone lines had been laid for us to have a telephone, and cell phones hadn't been created. So I was basically isolated from the outside world, and I wondered what I had done so terribly wrong to be so terribly punished. I can look back now and say, well, nothing. That's just the way it was. And I've been told Mississippi has changed, and I do pray for the great state of Mississippi, but I only go back to bury the dead. I like Texas. I like being in Texas. Also, in that era of time, was the Calvinistic period where the patriarchal part of society was in charge, and women walked two steps behind men, and I was a woman. And I shouldn't think. I wasn't supposed to have any ideals. I was just supposed to be pretty and be a bracelet on somebody's arm, and I never got it. I didn't get it, and I kept asking questions, and I kept getting put down. And my mother would talk to me to stop embarrassing the family and stop doing that. And I thought it was normal, but they were trying to tell me it's not normal. I wanted to go to school. Well, that wasn't normal. school, meaning I wanted to graduate from high school and go on to college. That's not normal. What did I need an education for? Because I was going to be pregnant, barefoot, and mopping the floor. And I thought, not me. I'm not. And I was wondering why I wasn't at Kent State. Do y'all remember back in the 60s what was going on at Kent State? Okay. For those of you that don't, we were as close to overthrowing the government as we have ever been in the United States because we were protesting the Vietnam War. My dad wanted sons. The oldest child in our family was a girl. Well, that's okay, so the next one's going to be a boy. Well, that was me, and I wasn't a boy. And somehow or another, that coat didn't wear well. So I was going to prove I was as good as a boy, if not better. Going back to the culture, that was a no-no. And so I kept banging my head up against the culture, trying to show them wrong, and I was right. And my mother would all tell me things like, the way to a man's stomach is through his heart. And I go, oh, no, mother. They're going to respect me for my brain and my education. Well, guess what? Mother was right. Even today, I've learned if I want something, I can cook a very nice meal. And my husband does such wonderful things. It works. But for me, I kept going against the grain. I was unhappy. I was an embarrassment. I was told, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Why do you want to do that? And later on, I learned, I didn't finish that sentence, but let me back up. In that driving today, I had some thought time. And in thinking, I realized I had disappointments. And as my disappointments kept building up, I kept shoving them down, and I didn't know how to keep them down, but they were going to get down, and they were going to stay down, and it was anger. Anger got them to stay down. Didn't take me long, I remember, to figure out another way to keep those feelings down, and I remember my first, what we call in Overeaters Anonymous, a binge. I had come home from school, and my grandmother had cooked butter beans and cornbread. And I ate one bowl, finished it off, and then I ate another bowl and finished it off, and then there was always the cornbread. And my aunt said, Kathy Lynn sure can eat, can't she? And I went and got another bowl. And I've been doing that until I found OA. But my disappointments were so built up and so angry. I was feeding them to anesthetize those feelings. But new disappointments were coming at me. And new things that were being told, when you graduate from high school, you need to be married and start a family. And I'm thinking, I don't plan to ever get married, much less start a family. That's not on my list. So food worked. I knew I was going to leave Mississippi if I had to walk out of the state. And high school was interfering with my getting on with my life. And I tried to finish high school in 3 years, and in my senior year I lacked half a credit. Well, I went ahead and got the half a credit and went 4 years. But I could just play. I could just do what I wanted to do. I did go to college, and I did get a degree, and I went on to have a career in education. And what got me here, in leaving the great state of Mississippi, I had been married to a man that had been stationed at Fort Bliss in El Paso, and that's where I was headed, back to El Paso. But I didn't get that far because my dad said, well, you know, my sister Edna lives in Odessa. Why don't you go out there where she is and they'll be family? And I did. And it was at that time I was so angry. I was so calloused. And my whole body has changed because I went to Odessa College and I was in school with some people I had met later after I got into OA. What gave me away was my voice. And they would come up to me and say, kid? And I'm going, yeah. They said, you don't even look the same. You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. And they were right. I wasn't the same. Because I had fed that dragon for so long. And I had walked that angry walk. Because if something was wrong with you, God appointed me to tell you how to straighten out your life. And people were pushing me away. And I was lonely. And I found myself just hungering for companionship. And I prayed, God, send someone to share my life with. And my husband shows up. And I've been married to him 36 years. And he needs the Purple Heart. But we're married, and it's a work in progress. It's a working relationship. Well, I found out at that time, I was so angry growing up. My mother was afraid of me because I wanted to get physical. And I found out recently from my baby sister, she too was afraid of me. Well, I married my husband, and I wasn't in OA at that time. You know, when you're courting, you're going to put your best foot forward. You're not going to show the real you until you get the I do. And after I got the I do, the real me came out. And it was ugly. I have treated people disrespectfully. I have shamed my family in public. And I didn't even know I was doing it. I thought that was, I don't know. I don't think I knew it was normal. And it wasn't like, this is who I am, accept me. I knew no other way. And what got me to OA is the miserable loneliness and the insane behavior. Now, I don't know my top weight, but I do know the last time I weighed was 230 pounds. And I weighed more than that. But when I walked into OA November the 2nd of 1986, I wanted my sanity back. I wanted to be able to be civilized, treat people with respect, treat people the way I wanted them to treat me. And more than anything, I wanted a friend. I wanted somebody to be my friend. But if you're doing what I was doing, people don't want you around. They push you away, put you at bay. One night, I was so miserable, I just fell on my knees and asked God, there's got to be another way besides this. Show me. Open the door. And the door opened. At church, we were having ladies' night, and several speakers were speaking, and someone in the speaker's circle was speaking about 12-step program. And I thought, well, what do I got to lose? I think I'll go down there and check them out. And I did. And I don't know what they were saying. I didn't know much about what was on the walls. I just know I heard keep coming back. So I did. And I kept going back. And it was around 3 months till I finally realized, oh, I'm in here because of my compulsive eating. I'm slow but sure. So finally, I decided I would start looking at the literature and I might start participating, and I did. Well, this was in the 80s before OA had literature, so we were using AA literature. And our group was so large, we rented a two-room house. The living area is where we gathered, and then in the bedroom areas was our bookstore where we sold our books. But in that living area, we had a podium, and there's something very vulnerable about that podium. You're standing up and you feel like you're undressed and you're shedding your soul. And I got up to speak one day, and it was as if I had a spiritual awakening. Just standing in front of the group that was there that day, I just felt clean on the inside. And I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps, and they weren't that hard. But now I realize the sponsor I had was doing the best she could do. And I agree, there's no way to do it wrong other than not do it. But I also know at this point in my life, I get to do the 12 steps sometimes every day. And it was recently I found out through my sponsor that she called my attention, do you not realize you're as powerless over your character defects as you are over food? And I'm going, no. So now, with a character defect, I can pull the word food out and put that character defect in its place. Now, I used to chew my nails off into the quick, and I used to smoke cigarettes, and I used to drink, and drinking was not my problem, and so much that I knew when I was dealing with relationships, I wanted a drink. When I was abusing me, I wanted food. But I curse like a sailor. It just happened that I was that angry. And I talked to God, and I had victory over so many other things. Moved to Texas with the equivalent of an eighth grade education. Now I have 3 degrees, and I don't bite my nails to the quick, and I don't smoke. I haven't smoked in 36 years. And I don't drink by choice. I don't condemn others who want to drink, but I choose not to drink. But I could not stop the cursing and profanity. So I asked God, I need your help. Now, every now and then, a word will creep out. And if I let one word creep out, then a whole chain of words creep out. So what I'm sharing is, God gave me victory over that, the God of my understanding. How I am today, well, let me back up and say that I called myself a 12-stepper, and I worked the steps to the best of my ability. I called myself a 12-stepper every day, but somehow or another I let life get in the way. I let my career get in the way. I wanted to build my career. I wanted to climb, not corporate ladder. In education, I don't know if there is such thing as a corporate ladder, but I wanted to be respected by my peers, be known to be the best. Not that I ever thought I was going to be the teacher of the year, but I wanted to be the best teacher. And I think God calls teachers just like preachers. You either are or you aren't. And I am a teacher. And it doesn't matter today whether I'm teacher of the year or not. But I kept wanting to improve on myself. And I would study this and I would study that. And so it got to the point my body just played out. I just couldn't do it anymore because I had a heart attack. I had nerve damage in my foot and my body was just breaking down. I would work 12, 16 hours a day, every day, Saturdays and Sundays and holidays too. And I would tell my family, if you'll just let me get my FIAS belt, I'll be coming home. If you'll just let me do this, or just let me take one more course, or let me get just one more degree, then I'll start coming home. But that didn't happen until my body broke down. And now I realize I can teach, but it's going to be in a different way than I thought it was going to be. How I am today, well, after I realized that I could not do public education anymore, I thought, why is my weight up to 204 pounds, 204, 205? What's going on? And then I realized, well, when was the last time you've been to a meeting? When was the last time you read any OA literature? When was the last time you had a talk with God? And I hadn't, so I decided, well, I'll look around, and I know they had meetings in Midland and Shirley and Odessa. There weren't any. So I found meetings in Lubbock and Abilene. Now, AA Big Book says, willing to go to any lengths. And I thought about that. Did I want to drive 2 hours to Lubbock or 3 hours to Abilene? And I didn't want to do either one. So I thought, I'll just start some meetings. Well, here's the key catch word, just. Anytime I hear the word just, the red flag goes up. Because not that I regret it at all. It is my life. It is my calling. It is what I am asked to do. I don't have to do it. I'm asked to do it. So got online, got a kit, found us a place to meet, and had our first meeting, and lo and behold, there were 12 people there, and I felt like a poodle on the nothing. What am I going to do? How am I going to teach these people about 12 steps? Well, you know, the word there is, I'm not going to teach them anything. They're going to teach themselves. They and the higher power, and the God of my understanding. And that's the way it is today. We've been there 3 years, and I get excited when someone comes in that's hungry and wants to know the program, and I get excited when somebody comes in just to check us out and decides that's not for them, and it's okay. I get excited when the students at Midland College come in so that I can sign off on their sheet by their nursing program that they had attended some type of program to help them with their in-service. So, and I've seen some expressions on some of those students' faces like, you're talking to me, huh? Talking to me. Well, today I've learned, because one day I worked the steps, and one day it dawned on me, yeah, that's it. I had a shift. I had the spiritual awakening some 20 years ago, but when I started working the steps, when I started working the tools, when I started studying and improving my relationship with the God of my understanding is when the shift happened. And out of that shift, now this is just what I do. It may seem overwhelming to others, but it's all of it is what I have put together, and because it's what I believe I need, and it's what works for me. Because I have maintained this weight loss. I don't know how much I weigh, but I wear a size 12 for the last 3 years. So if it works, I'm Texan. If it works, don't change it. I get up and I start my day with prayer and meditation. To me, prayer is my talking to God. And God likes to hear me talk. Some people don't, but God does. And meditation is me getting quiet enough so I can hear God. God's voice. And sometimes that could be 5 minutes, and sometimes it could be an hour. I have had meditation as long as 2 hours. That's the longest I've had to sit. But somehow or another, I know when it's over, when I've done what I needed to do. But in order to get to meditation, the first thing I do, and I don't leave this up to just memory work, there's something about signing a contract. There's something about putting your name on a piece of paper. We know in research that works. So I've made up a sheet of forgiveness. And every day there's somebody, someone, something, some situation that I need to forgive because of what I did. And so I look at that, and I have put on my sheet, I, Kit Merritt, forgive and release or give back to the person, place, or thing. And then I give up failing, and there's a blank myself. And I promise to do my absolute best to begin, and there's a blank myself from this day forward. And I claim what it is I'm claiming, and then as mine complete and full. And that's the first thing I do, is forgive. And then the second thing I do is I start my gratitude list. I can start it, or I can do it throughout the day or at the end of the day, but I start it off with 5 things, and they can't be the same 5 things every day. They don't accumulate. I mean, it's something new, something different every day. And pretty much when I start my gratitude list, when I started this 3 years ago, it was things I was grateful for, my car. I was grateful for the house I lived in. And these are wonderful things. I've been to third world countries. I am grateful. Every day I wake up in America, it's a good day. But today I'm grateful for peace. The very thing that I walked into OA with, I wanted my sanity. I'm grateful for my peace. I'm grateful for harmony. I'm grateful for joy. And I'm grateful for wisdom. And I'm grateful for love, giving it, receiving it, the circle of life. So I start that. Then the next thing I do, and I'm not going to talk about it except just share it with you. I write myself a check every day, and the check is paid to the order of its date. It's just like a check in your checkbook, only down here it's from Divine Bank of Abundance. And God signs it. And then the last thing I do is what I call affirmative prayer. I pray. I pray as though it's already happened. What I pray for things I want in my life. This is just me. If I say, God, I don't want to eat all day. Well, the more I think about not eating all day, guess what I end up doing? I think about eating all day. But if I pray, God, today is a day of clean abstinence. With your help, I will have clean abstinence. And at 11:59, I'll turn around and realize just for 24 hours, I had clean abstinence. Thank you, God. And doing that, then those things are done. And then I have my packet. And on the packet are people that I hold up in the light and the love every day. And I like the picture of it. I mean, I see them all the time, but I still like the visual of them. And maybe I want to say something specific about them. Or maybe I just want their highest and best good in all their concerns and affairs. Now, if I'm in a hurry, I can say, God, all this, would you bless? Or I call them by name, and I see them, visually see them, and say what it is I'm praying about. Now, it doesn't stop there, because on the inside is more stuff. I have IBS, so I get a picture of a healthy one. And that's what I want. I have things I know that I will be praying for. for the rest of my life or the rest of their life. And then there's things that are added to it. And this gets worn out, and I get to replenish it from day to day. So the next thing I go to is I read something from OA. And this is what I'm doing now. But there's other things I can be doing. And I am so grateful that we have the workbook with the daily for today, affirmations, voices of recovery. And I get to ponder on the questions. And the questions never get old. They never get old. Then I read something spiritual, and this is just the magazine from the church I go to. So I read something spiritual, and then I memorize things. And I was told, if you memorize it, then you own it. It's yours. And so that's why I memorized the 37th step. It became mine after I memorized it. Until then, it was Bill W's or whoever put it together. But then after I memorized it, it became mine. I journal. I have my two journals. I'm reading a book called Awakening the Drunk Monkey. And as I read it, I write about it and how it pertains to me. And then I journal on things. Because those emotions I had shoved down so far, I don't know, maybe they've gone beyond the crust, the mantle, and right down to the core where all that heat is. And if you take my drug of choice away from me, food, then those feelings start coming up, and I don't know what to do with them other than journal about it. And once I start journaling, I reach out. I call someone. The importance of calling is you're reaching out. You're humbling yourself. I need help. We want to be independent creatures. And then another thing I do is I have a prayer partner. And this is the journal for the prayer partner. And we call each other once a week. And in that prayer time, we share our week, how our last request has manifested itself, or how it hasn't. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but you pray for something until you either give up, you get tired and you give up, or it happens. So one or the other, but we call each other and then we tell each other what it is we want the other person to affirm and pray for them about. And that happens in the morning when I start my day with my meditation and prayer. And how I am today, well, when I first started OA, my husband was embarrassed that I belonged to OA. He was very secretive. But today, he wants me to go. Be sure and have fun. He likes the person he lives with today. She's kind. Because the one time I went to him and said, what do you want from me? And he said, just be kind to me. And so if I can't do anything else, I can be kind to him and share with him kindness. Speak to him kindness. Because he told me, I used to talk to him like I was one of his students and I taught special ed. So... it has saved my life. I am a better person. And for me, the program has given me a better relationship with the God of my understanding. It doesn't have to be your God. It's my God. And I love waking up in the morning and knowing that I'm going to have better experiences. These are some of the, I just put this up here. You're welcome to read it or not read it. But to stay the course, these are the four primary things that I focus on. And I thank you for allowing me to share my story and